Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Let's give before him in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come humbly before you this morning. Lord, anxious to hear what you have for us, Lord, in your word. Lord, this is our life, to live, to breathe, everything be pleasing unto you, Lord. We just ask you have your way this morning in everything that's said and done. Lord, give us revelation greater than anything else in this life we could ask for. And we grant it all into your hands. Leave it all in your hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. 257, I only believe.
Ah.
thing for me, man, for that river. I'd like to turn to page 202. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. Can help me, Jesus. can help us. Jesus alone. Amen. Page 596. At night I lay in bed and I begin to cry, and my mind just fails to know exactly why. I can't explain with tongue or pen the Spirit's burnings deep within. It must be God here in my soul, because I feel the pull. I feel mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. God's mercy rewrote my life. I should have. Seated. Anyone have a special this morning? Sister Grace? stand. Ask our pastor to come. We'll sing that little chorus. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible.
Bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, again we're so appreciative in our hearts today to be here and that you've given us the health and strength and the precious desire to be here, Lord. Oh, that in itself is such a blessing. We appreciate it so very much, especially seeing the day and time which we live where there's so much darkness, Lord, and so much filth and corruption. But yet, Lord, you have a little people that'll stand on your word, Lord, and loves you with all their heart and desire the very instructions from you, that everything you want in their life, their heart is open to it. So we, being a part of that people today, we've come again today with our hearts open to receive of your precious word. And Lord, again, to measure ourselves up by your word. We never want to measure ourselves by ourselves, Lord. It just will never work out. So we ask that you'd bless us now. And may each one be attentive, Lord. And may your Holy Spirit keep their attention. We ask it in your precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. You're happy to be here today. Amen. I am. His mercy and His grace. So good to see all of your wonderful smiling faces again. All right, let's turn a Bible again to 1 Thessalonians in 5th chapter and read a very short verse. Amen. We mentioned it Thursday night. We want to go back in that little thought we was on last Thursday evening. And the title of it was just prayer. You know, prayer. Such a small word, but yet such a wonderful thing to be able to talk to the Lord. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter in the 17th verse. Pray without ceasing. May the Lord bless the reading of His word, and you may be seated. And I'll recap on a few things for those that wasn't here and maybe didn't get to listen to it yet. Thursday night what we brought, but I'd like to recap just a little, as I said, to make sure you catch what direction we're going in. But we find here in seed is not air with the shuck. This is one of the places where Brother Branham said, he said, now just before we approach the word, we want to approach the author of the word again. You might eat too much. You might drink too much. You might laugh too much. You might walk too much. But you'll never pray too much. No, think of that. You'll never pray too much. And, you know, we could add many things to that. You can talk too much. You can have too many pleasures, you know. I mean, there's many things you could put in there. You can run too much, run around too much. But you can never pray too much. Now, I take these things as the prophet spoke them, is very real to my heart. You know, it's because it was God's mouthpiece that He gave the little bride, and you can see that in His own life it was vindicated and backed up with reality, the same it should be backed up with reality in our lives. But you know, we find that many times prayer life is way too short, and the day which we live, the events that's taking place, the love for God that we should have,
the most gracious of revelations that he has given us, many of them, and still not talk to him much? You know, that's what prayer is talking to the Lord. You know, it's supposed to be. And as I said, we want to kind of go back on some of these things and listen to what the prophet said and listen to some scripture and really measure ourselves up to see if we have the prayer life that we should have. Because I'm sure you'll find probably by the time we get done this, well, I'll never finish it again today, but I'm sure by the time we do get done, you'll probably most likely see you're a little short on your prayer life and how you should pray. And you may think, well, I pray and I feel satisfied, I pray and this, that, and the other. Well, it's always strange. So many times we think we're okay on things and then God's word comes and then it's, uh-oh, you know, I'm not as good as I thought it was. And that's what God's word does many times. And that's why it is not wise, as Paul said, to measure yourself up by yourself. It's very unwise to do so. So we must measure ourselves up by the word of God today, even again, to make sure that everything in our life. Now again, maybe there'd be somebody sitting here that's not real concerned about, you know, doing everything God wants in their life and fulfilling every word that proceeds from the mouth of God and truly have Christ living with reality in their lives. Now there may be some, as I said, that's not real interested in that. And you may think that I'm a little off the wire again, you know, and may think I'm a little bit nuts and a little bit overboard, but let's just see what God's word says about these things. You know, because as I said, we surely ought to be a praying people. That's for sure. And you know who you're praying to. You know that he is alive, that he is real. You know, it's not just a God of wood or God of stone or something like that, some kind of idol, but he's a living God today. And it's like I mentioned Thursday night, you know, it's if, you know, I ask you to go back there, just kind of recap a little bit, and we'll ask you back here in the hallway, and I ask you, brother or sister, whoever you may be, and go back here in the hallway now, if you will, please, and go back there and pray to John Henry. I guess the name I use, John Henry. I said, just go back there and pray to John Henry. Go back there and talk to John Henry. Okay? Because again, prayer is talking to the Lord. So you go back there and think, well, I'll do this because Brother Steve asked me to do this. And you may as first go looking around you and think, boy, you know, this is kind of crazy, but I'll do this. You know? John Henry isn't back there, that's for sure. And you're back there all by yourself. Wouldn't you feel a little strange trying to make contact with somebody you don't really even think's there? Maybe you took my word for it. He's back, or you just can't see him. Maybe you thought, boy, is Brother Steve going crazy, or is John Henry here somewhere, you know? You can go in some kind of crazy spiritualism or something, you know? So, you know, you might sit there and just stand there and talk to John Henry. You know, like some people do, you know, they talk to imaginary things, you know, think they see people and everything. But you would never make a contact and you'd feel pretty strange, wouldn't you? You'd never know that. As I used the example, I said, you go back there and go ahead and ask John Henry for a dollar bill. And you came see him. Don't even know him. Yeah. And you just do what I say. You know, you go back there and, John Henry, I need a dollar bill. Well, ain't no John Henry there. You have absolutely no assurance whatsoever you'll get a dollar bill. No. You know that. You can't even see nobody. There's nobody there you can talk to that's real. You can't see them with your eyes. You know, hey, this ain't going to happen. No. But then, like I said, if you come out of that room, I tell you, go ahead and come on out and ask me now for a dollar bill. And knowing me, you know I'll give you that dollar bill. You've got somebody to see. You know somebody that's real, and you know my past, you know my personality. Pay attention to that. You know my personality, you know you're going to get a dollar bill off me when you ask. Without a doubt. You know for a fact you're going to get it. You don't have to worry. No. Because you know who I am. You know me. So you ask me, I willingly and freely give you a dollar bill. And you walk away happy knowing you've got that dollar bill in your hand. Let's say maybe you needed a loaf of bread or something, you're to the point of starving. And you're so happy you're getting this dollar bill so you could go buy you some bread, you know. Just so simple, just so easy, you know. But do you realize how many people pray and they don't know God or know He's real any more than they know John Henry's real? Believers in this message. Maybe some of you sitting there, you don't know God's going to answer your prayer. You don't even know if He's really listening to you. Because you've maybe had some prayers not answered. Maybe sometimes many in the past not answered. You think, what's happening? Is God really listening to me? Does He really know me? Is He really there to pay attention to what I'm asking for? You know? It may seem a little far-fetched. I don't care what you think and what you say, it is a reality. Yeah. Your life shows it. Again, it's like anything in the Word of God. God places His Word out there, tells exactly what His people will do, what they that are filled with His Holy Spirit will do, what will happen in their life, the signs that will be in their life. And if it ain't there, then we don't believe it. You see? So, again, let's just pay attention and listen very closely. I don't care if I ever get an amen today. But I just hope you're listening. Paying attention. You see? All right? So we read there what the prophet said about not eating too, or we can eat too much and all these different things. And then I mentioned, just again to recap a little bit, what the prophet said in the church age book. I won't read it all, but he says here on page 239, for example, a great burden of the last age is the pressure of riches, soft living, and nervous tensions. You ever see a people with such a nervous wreck they're in today? People are so nervous. Yeah. Nervous tensions in a complex age. Think of that. That we seem unfitted to live in. And truly, this is such a complex age. Again, as we talked about, you know, it's we got all these material things. It's nothing comparing now to what it was even back in the 20s and 30s. Nothing. Even the 50s, 60s, 70s. 80s has started to progress a little quicker. 90s even faster. In the 2000s, it's even going faster. A progression. A material things, belongings, things have to be just so-so. Things have to meet our needs much greater than they used to back in the 20s and 30s. Back then, it was more, they was just more interested in, they had wood for the wood stove, they had food on the table, they had clothes to wear and a roof over their head, and they was happy. But we can have luxury homes, we can have real nice mattresses, all kinds of food, and any kind of food we want to eat, anything we want to drink, and any kind of clothes we want to wear, and the nicest of automobiles or anything, equipment, anything we could possibly get, it's there. If we don't have the money, we've got credit to get it. And guess what? People still not be satisfied. And then with all this gathering of all this stuff, it turns it into a more complex age than it ever has been. Because all these things break down. All these things need attention. Yeah. And the more people that's got it, they need attention with it, they need help with it, and this, and it just keeps clustering to us nothing but one big, messy, ungodly cluster. Yeah. Think we're going to have all this junk over there? No. Some of the things we have is nice to have. Makes it easier for us. You know? Even down to the sisters with utensils, you know, different pieces of things, equipment in their kitchen to make things chop up a little easier and the men have little things that make speed a nut on quicker and this, that, and the other. And but just remember, all those things break down. You used to have to heat water on the stove, you know, just put the pan on there. We did it back when the blizzard hit, you know, and had to melt our snow for everything, you know, to just have something to wash with and do whatever we had to do, just melt snow. But today, the hot water tank can quit. Yeah. The water pump can go bad. Yeah. The roof can start leaking. And all these things draw time. Time. Yeah. And prayer requires a time. Yeah. You and God alone. A time where you can talk to him. But it's got to be something, and a prayer has to be in a way that is driven from the inside. But all these things going on draws it away from us. Yeah. And we think it's nice, though. We think it's nice having all these gadgets and things. We think it's nice having cell phones and I can just go on the phone and call my daughter when she needs this and wipe this and she can call me and this, that, and that. And we can text this, that, and that. We think it's so nice. But it'd just be nice if just the time alone we spend on the phone we'd pray. That'd be a lot better than what we do right now. Oh, yeah, it would be. Could you imagine it? Will your little mind imagine out those things? If you prayed as much as you're on your phone, just imagine it. Wow, what a prayer life you'd have. Much better than it is now. Yeah. And I know that may be hurtful, but I'm trying to bring this in a way, saints, it'll draw your attention. What's the sense of getting up here and presenting these things back to us, renew our minds to it, and examine these things if we don't apply it? If we can't see the seriousness of it and press for the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus and have these things applied to our life? What's the sense of even being here? We totally waste our time again today if it doesn't get applied. I waste my time, you waste your time. But I'm not here to waste my time, and I hope you aren't either. You see? I hope you're here to grow in Christ. Get ready for a rapture, because it's going to be soon. Oh my, it's got to be. How could it go on and on and on? I'll never know. Could be another 10 years. I don't know. I can't believe it would. Honestly, it's hard for me to believe it go past this year. As quick as things now is getting tangled up and tied up and the World Council of Churches, all these things happening, it can happen so quick. Why? So fast. Yeah. But in the Church Age book, as we said, I wanted to renew your mind to that. For example, great burden of the last age is pressure of riches, soft living, nervous tensions, and complex age and seeming to live in. And as I kind of mentioned, you know, kind of for examples, you know, before I go and read these other quotes, you know, just take your normal day of life. You rise up out of bed. You men know you got to go to work, so you go to work. If you don't work, you're worse than an infidel. Yeah. But while you're at work, wife may call and say, as I said, the hot water tank started leaking. So now you're kicking up gear now. Kicking in, you're getting nervous. I got to get this hot water tank because the children need a bath, and I got to be able to get a shower, and the clothes need washed, and now it's kicking in. Yeah. So you tell the wife, okay, well, I'm going to take and check it out, make sure first. I'll run home real quick, and I'm going to check this hot water tank, make sure it is what we need, or make sure it ain't just something leaking on it. Let's get it fixed. So you find out you need a new one. So you hurry up and try to make it to Lancaster before they close. And you grab your hot water tank and you rush right back to the house and you're just working on it, working on it, working on it. Trying to get it all done. And all of a sudden, the cow gets out. And the baby's crying. The wife says, I need to run to town because she's out of Similac. Oh my, the day just gets so collaborated. With nervous tensions in this complex age we live in. Every day, every day, every day. Constantly. And we begin to accept that's life. But we forget how it's destroying our prayer life, our reading the Word, and studying. Just think how it destroyed you. And our Lord Jesus Himself gave us little clues all along the way. These times would come. He told us about how we'd be choked with the cares of life. Did we listen to Him? No. We just let it keep choking. Do we have to still try our 5-yoke oxen? Yes, we still got to try that. We got to go look at our land. We got to get married. We got to have all these things. And He told us. He even puts His hand to the plow and looks back. He's not fit for the kingdom of God. Yeah. But we just keep getting so tangled up and don't seem to do anything about it. Just get more tangled, more tangled, and more tangled. Yeah. Sometimes it'd be so nice when you really think about it and look at it through God's eyes. It'd be so nice to go back to living in a little cabin with a well out there. You throw the bucket down and pull the bucket up. Yeah. Yeah. Be so nice. Yes, it will. Men live off the land, raise the crops, live off of it, make all the many things they need to make for whatever they need in life. Wouldn't it be so nice? But maybe you like the world too much. Maybe you like gadgets too much. Yeah. Maybe you like those instruments too much. Sometimes when I think about it, it would be nice to go back to it. May the Lord Jesus bless us Africans. They have hut houses. Yeah. Ain't got no transportation. Walk. Bless those people. Yes. And we think we're the blessed. I'm not so sure. As the prophet said in the church age books, we think sometimes these things we have in life, material things, is blessings. Whew. Maybe it ain't. It's here to destroy us. We've got to realize it. These material things are here to destroy you, not keep you. Jesus even told His disciples, don't take no extra, nothing with you. No. Just come. Follow me. You'll never find where the Lord Jesus pushed to material things. And the prophet said in the church age book also, the children of God are not material minded. Who's going to match it sitting here? Who's going to match it? Who can live it? They're not material minded. Why? Now, in preparing us to these things, listen again, I'll recap on this real quickly. Brother Man was talking about the message pardon. And he was talking about healing services, discernment, and how many times in discernment God would deal with the prophet's heart, showing that those people need to repent, or that person, individual, whoever it may be, stand there ready to be prayed for and told them they had to repent. He said, tell people repent. He said, there you go, to our prayers has become tradition. Now he starts on that. When we do pray, we pray a traditional prayer. Lord, help mommy. Lord, help daddy. Lord, keep roof over my head. Thank you, Lord, for my food to eat. Help me make it through my job today. You call that prayer? Oh my. He says, we kneel down at night and say, Lord, bless so-and-so. And bless so-and-so and do this and help John do all this. See, you make God a mascot, which is an object or thing that is a symbol of good luck. Is that what we pray for? That maybe by chance we'll get good luck? And my situation will turn around in my home. My situation will turn around on my job. My spiritual life will turn around. I'm going to hold my good luck charm up. I'm going to get down on my knees and pray and say, Lord, help me do this and help me do that. That he becomes our mascot. Right? Or we make him some kind of an errand boy. You do this, and you do this, and you do this. That is not the way that the Lord Jesus told us to pray, he says. And sometimes you've heard people pray, God, I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. And God, we want you to do this for us and this. Oh, yeah? Since when did he become our errand boy? He said to pray like this, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But we try to order God what to do for us. And he goes in talking about the little spring, you know, when he was a game warden, the spring bubbling. And he asks, you know, about, is it because the bunny comes here and eats the rabbit or the deer or whatever, or because I come in here to drink? And he said, if the little spring could talk, he said, no, there's something behind me pushing me. And when there's something behind pushing you, friends, your prayer will not become a traditional prayer. No. But if there's nothing inside pushing you, it becomes a traditional prayer. It's just, Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me. Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. And that's about all it comes to. Just a traditional prayer. No sincerity about it. You're not on your knees and praying and seeing the need of the hour and seeing what's going on and seeing what God's requiring or something in your soul crying out. Oh my. Then you begin to groan in the Spirit. The Spirit begins to make intercession for you. For it knows your needs more than you'll ever know. See? We're talking about prayer. Real prayer. Not a traditional prayer. And praying to somebody you know hears you. Talking to somebody you know that will give you the desire of your heart. Praying in the will of God. Yes. All right. Christ is revealed in his own word. He was talking here. They said, this was August 22nd, 1965, paragraph 33. They said, I was riding with a man not long ago, and he said, think of it, this man did to him. He said, we here on this earth, the way we are, and we only know or can only say that we're saved by some Jewish fable called the Bible. That's what this man was saying to Brother Brown. I said, sir, I don't know how you say that, but I don't believe it's a Jewish fable. And then he said, well, you pray. He says, what do you pray to? This man asked Brother Ray. What do you pray to? I asked him for so-and-so and certain things, and I didn't get it. This man's telling Brother Ray. How many times is that our story? I prayed for certain things, and I didn't get it. Brother Bram says, I said, you pray wrong. We should never pray, you'll remember this when we do, we should never pray to change God's mind. Think of that. How many times in life have we tried to pray to change God's mind? He said, you should never pray to change God's mind. Well, Brother Steve, I don't know what's in God's mind. What's his word say? We should pray to change our mind. Lord, change my mind. Change my way I even pray. What I'm thinking as I pray. Change my mind. God's mind don't need any changing. Oh, is that true? See, it's, he said, it's right. He said, not what you pray for. And I know a young Catholic boy one time, he had a prayer book saying prayers. You know, they'll get a little prayer book and it's got little prayers in it. And so they'll say their prayers on this little book, you know. He said, had a prayer book saying prayers for his mother to live. And then she died. And he threw the prayer book in the fire. Well, see, he says, I don't go for no prayer book, Brother Graham says. See, I don't go for no prayer book. But anyhow, you take the wrong attitude. How many times by being carnal, we take the wrong attitude? And when we begin to talk to God, okay? You're trying to tell God what to do. See? Oh my. So, can I pray for my mother to live? I don't know. What's God's will? What's God's will? See? Now remember, God reveals things. Okay? Let's go on. He said, prayer should be, Lord, change me to fit your word. That's what we want. Now, could you imagine if we just prayed like that to fit his word, how much changing had to happen in here? Oh. When you really go into that scripture and that word and find out what it tells us to be, can you imagine the changing that take place right in this building? Wow. There'd be some changes. Another one. Lord, change me to fit your word, not let me change your mind. He said, Lord, you change my mind. You change my mind to your will. And your will is written in this book. Don't let me go till you got my mindset just, he says, don't let me go until you got my mindset just like your mind. That'd be a good thing to pray about. Lord, change my mind to your mind. I may be thinking a little wrong on something. I might be approaching something just a little bit in the wrong way, Lord. I need you to change my mind to your mind, to your word, to your will, Lord. See? And then, when my mind is set like your mind, then I'll believe every word you wrote and what you said in there. You make everything work together for good to them that loves you. And he said, Lord, it's all working together for good. See? So maybe we wonder why sometimes things don't work out like we expect them to. Maybe we don't think God's listening to us. But maybe we're praying wrong too. Maybe we got a little bit of the wrong attitude of why we're asking for something. You know, it's like I used a little example before, you know. My arm is shriveled up or I can't use my arm and it has no movement or anything. And I've got in mind, Lord, oh, if you'd only heal my arm, I could play baseball again. Such nonsense. But what if us would do something that pleased him? Now I got something to stand on. Could you imagine how carnal that would be to sit there and have a limb that doesn't work and ask God to heal me so I can play baseball or I can run more, I can go town, I can go do this and I can have fun doing this and hike and do this, that, and the other? Just think how much fun I'd have, Lord. Can you imagine how carnal that is? But maybe it'd be, Lord, I want my arm healed because I need to feed my family. I need to work. Feed my family. For if I don't work, I'm worse than an infidel, Lord. I'm asking, Lord, according to your will, your desire, Lord, I need a touch from you now. Oh my. That's a lot different, isn't it? Yeah. Well, I don't want to be healed to go to. I have to go back to work. Why would I want to go back to work for? I'm drawing unemployment or I'm on disability. Why would I want to go back to work? Believe it or not, friends, There is people in this message call themselves Christians and believers, and I've heard those words. That's about as much hogwash as there is. Pray? How do we pray? What is our ambition? What is the desire truly come from the inside? What and how? Which revelation do we pray by? You see? If you want to turn your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 6th chapter. Let's read what they call the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6. And let's begin here about the 5th verse. Just follow along with me. We'll just mention a few things and then we'll go back to the quotes. Again, I'll try not to hold you too long today, but I'd like to get a little bit further here. Matthew 6 and go to the 5th verse. Is it okay if I recap those things? Because I'm always a little bit afraid maybe somebody wasn't here or you don't take the time to listen to it. You missed and you can't be here or for some reason and you're not interested in listening to it. So I take these times to at least try to catch you while I can. And when thou prayest, now here's our Lord Jesus telling us something here. Okay. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Showing us something here. There's a place to pray. Okay? But thou, now that thou is you, so he's talking personally to you and me. Okay? But thou, or you, when you prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou, now closet prays is, if you look it up and run it through, it's a secret place. Place off of yourself, in other words. Okay? Now, it's not talking about if we stand up here and pray and take the prayer requests and different things like that. This is when you take your time to go in prayer and talk to the Lord. You throw aside everything and make that time. Little Mr. or Mrs. Busybody, you take time to pray. But can you answer God really? And say, I had that time in my life. Try to answer it. See where you're at. You're too busy. Yeah. He said, be thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. Yeah. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Now, friends, we talk about that little spring, bubbling spring. When you've got a new birth that's taken place, you're filled with His Holy Spirit. There's something, friends, that'll drive you and push you to want to talk to Him. He's the best friend you'll ever have. And you turn Him down too many times. You ain't got time for Him. You got time for a friend you think you got out here somewhere that'll turn His back on you maybe someday. But I'm going to tell you what, our Lord Jesus Christ ain't going to turn His back on you. He's the best friend you'll ever have and the best person you ever could talk to. Yes. Oh my. And here you just won't even talk to Him, Arden. Just act like He's a God of wood or God of stone. I'll come pick you up when I want to. And He's the dearest one to you in your life. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions. All right? Vain means it's not fruitful. You see? It doesn't produce any value. Repetitions is to repeat the same things over and over. Oh. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what. You think God's interested when you sit there and say, God, 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 God. I need a loaf of bread. God, 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 I need this. God, 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 I need this. A prayer of vain repetition. The same thing you prayed yesterday, same day, day before, same thing day before that day. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen. What? A heathen? A heathen. Wow. A heathen is an alien to the true living God. A heathen is one that would go out there in that hallway and try to talk to John Henry. You no more know John Henry than anything. I hope you're listening, because God, we're talking about somebody that knows what you pray about, knows what your prayers is, and he laid it on the little preacher's heart to get up here and say and remind you about it. He's not happy with it. Yeah. This is God's way of doing it and taking care of it. Judgment begins in the house of God. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen does. Now think of this, friends. If he just let us go, look where we'd have to stand before him. But he loves you, and love is correction. See? It'll get you lined back up. See? But when we pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think. Why? Because they're in their carnal thinking. Carnality. They think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But not ye, or he says, be ye not therefore like unto them, them heathens. They use vain repetition. God's wanting a heartfelt prayer from you. He wants a reality prayer from you. Talk to him like you know he's real. Yeah. Instead of trying to reach out and try to find some god of wood or stone and call his name Jesus. Yeah. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth. Yes. Remember, he searcheth the reins and knows the hearts. So he knows everything. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you even ask him. Think of that. Before you ask him, he knows what you have need of. Is he that great? Absolutely, he's that great. And if you would face reality, and maybe you've had it happen in your life, you can see times in the past. You knew you had need of something. You knew you wanted this certain thing to be this way. You didn't even ask him. But he knew your heart, and he still gave it to you. Oh, yeah. It's happened many times, friends. I can say, I can stand before him, it's happened many, many times for me. I didn't ask him. But he knew my heart, knew the desire, knew why I wanted it that way, and God brought it forth. And you stand back almost amazed. How do you know about it? Because he knows your heart. He searches the reins. He's a living God. He's not a God of dead wood or stone. He's a living God. You see? So you do have him experiences? Did you know him to say anything? But you're just meditating? Thinking about it? It sure be nice to be this way. He knows what you have need of before you even ask. Yes. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. After this manner therefore pray ye. Our Father. In other words, you talk to him. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, or holy, pure, genuine is thy name. See? Thy kingdom come. Oh my. Thy kingdom come. In other words, thy royal power and dominion, rulership. Yes. Thy will be done. If that isn't Christ, the mystery of God revealed in Paul, prisoner. Thy will be done. Hallelujah. In earth, in this life I live. Yes. As it is heaven. Has God seen it positive? Let it be fulfilled now. Didn't he see you in his mind? Was there a moon or a star? Didn't he know you'd be saved? Yeah. Didn't he know you was a part of him? You come from the same source? Now, Lord, let it be to me according to thy will, God. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, just give me what it takes to survive in this life. Yes. And forgive us of our debts. Think of that. And forgive us of our debts. In other words, please, Lord, don't hold anything against me. I'll place it in your blood. As we forgive our debtors, Lord, don't let me hold anything against anybody. Yes. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, don't let these trials and tests overtake me. But let thy holy word empower me and be an overcomer. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us or rescue us from evil. You're going to rescue yourself from evil? You can't do it. But he shall rescue you from evil. He's the only one that can. For thine is the kingdom, knows the dominion, the power, the authority, the rule. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, the praise and worship. Glory to his wonderful power, his greatness. Say, forever, amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. And you're what? You're condemned. Then how are you going to stand before God without condemnation? If your heart condemns you not, you can ask what you will. It shall be done. Yes. But if the things I'm reading right now, is it condemning you? Because you're failing? You don't want to talk to him. He's not a true interest to you. He's just a sideline God that I'll pick you up when I need you, Lord. I'll pick you up when I'm about ready to have an accident. I'll pick you up when I've had this accident. I'll pick you up when I need food on my table. I'll pick you up, Lord, when I need another job. Is that the only time he gets picked up? Or do you have a close relationship with him? A one-on-one relationship. Oh my. Where you can talk to him. As I mentioned Thursday night, I think it was Brother Billy Paul. Nobody corrected me on, but I think it was Brother Billy Paul. Said he'd walk by the room and hear Brother Brown pray. And you thought for sure somebody else was in there talking to him. That one-on-one conversation. talking like you were just standing there with somebody else talking. Yes. Is he that real to you? Or do you think you got to scream, you got to shout, and you got to show emotion and try to get a hold of him? Or are you on that one-on-one relationship where he is real to you? But you want to get into it this day. Okay. In the token, the prophet said, page 347, this was the token preached September 1st, 1963. And think about what we read in Matthew 6 just a moment ago. He said, now watch, fully obedience to the whole Word of God entitles us to the token. Then when we pray, we must have the token to present with our prayer. Interested in that? To presenting a token with our prayers? A literal life of Jesus Christ? A life filled with the Spirit of God? Oh my. Or is your life consist of, oh, it's just kind of nice to know He's there, and I know I go to church, and I call myself a Christian. How many times do you talk to Him? You ever been out in the woods by yourself and just sit there and just talk to Him? Brother Bram did, didn't he? Yeah. Yeah. You ever be off by yourself and just talk to Him? Yeah. Maybe just go out at night by yourself, a nice warm evening, you know, out in the summertime, you're talking to Him, just walking around, nobody else is around, you're just sitting there talking. And if somebody was hiding in the bushes, they'd think, boy, this guy's crazy. I ain't gonna bother him, I'm gonna leave him alone. He's nuts. Huh? And you're sitting there talking to Him and just tears running down your face. Just a sweetness. Oh, telling Him how much you love Him. Telling Him how much you appreciate Him. And you just feel the sweetness of His Holy Spirit just wooing you, drawing you. Oh my. You ever do that? Oh my. You never do that? Some of you never do that. I feel sorry for you. You're missing some of the greatest blessings there is in life. If He ain't that real to you. Don't a man and woman, when they fall in love, don't they just love each other's attention, love each other's company? Huh? Does he have to say, I have somewhat against thee, lest thy first love. You once loved me. You once wanted my close relationship, and now material things in life that you counted as blessings to you has destroyed our love. Has destroyed that relationship between us. Because you'd much rather have material things than to talk to me, to love me. I'll tell you, friends, you better be loving Him now, because you're going to love Him forever throughout eternity. Could you imagine a man walk up to his new little bride and ask him to marry you? Ask her to marry, will you marry me? And then she goes ahead and says, yes, I'll marry you. And then I appreciate that. I got things to do now. I'll be back in a couple days. I got a lot of jobs going right now. You know? Doesn't even call her. What do you think that poor little woman thinks? What do you think about the man would think if she decided I got to go to my mama's house and I got to do this, that, and the other. Maybe she's off down another state, you know, and never calls, never says anything. Yeah, no more interested in her lover she just married. Yeah, because she got interested in other things in life. The cares of life was pulling much stronger. It was much more important than to call her love and talk to Him. Much more important. Oh, yes. My love, my Roselique. And this is a complex age we live in. You got to remember God. You got to remember the age and time we're living in. It ain't like it was before.
Yeah, that's right. You lost your first love. Yeah. You used to love me. You told me. And now you don't. You won't even talk to me. You won't even bless your food in a restaurant. You're ashamed of me. You've gone so cold. Ashamed of me. But I must tell you, if you're ashamed of me, on that day I'll be ashamed of you. Oh.
Friends, as I've said with any other subject, and I'll close here because I'm not going to be posted anyway. I've got a whole bunch more. I hope you're listening and measuring yourself up by the Word of God. Remember, the Word of God is more powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts going in and it'll cut coming out. But thank God it'll cut sin out of your life. It'll cut nonsense out of your life if you'll just listen to it. But maybe you're not interested. I don't know. It's between you and God. But you got to keep in mind, again, as I say many times, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying my best to help. Try my best to get you really where your interest ought to be. Not in this world. And all the craziness that's going on. You may think, sit there and think, oh, you think it's wrong to have this? I'm not saying it's wrong to have anything. But if it takes you over and you don't have time for God, it has become an idol to you. You have put it before God. Can a home be an idol? Absolutely. Can a farm be an idol? Absolutely. Can an automobile be an idol? Absolutely. Can a tractor be an idol? Absolutely. Can a parent be an idol? Absolutely. Can your children be an idol? Absolutely. Can your grandchildren be an idol? Absolutely. Anything you put before God is an idol. See? And tell me it ain't an idol when you ain't got time for God. Try to prove to me that it's not an idol. You don't have to prove to me, but you try to prove to God it's not an idol in your life when you ain't got time to even talk to Him. I mean, talk to Him. A God with personality. We'll get to it. John Henry ain't nobody, friends, because you don't know his personality. But if you came up to me, you know my personality. And you can talk to me. And I'm going to give you your heart's desire. As long as I'm capable and able to. Yeah. Because you know me. You know my personality. I'd help you the most as I possibly can. But you don't know John Henry. He's an imaginary God. Yes. And look at the people in this message praying than an imaginary God. They no more know him than anything. I'll go into my message tonight. I can't do that. We'll quit there. Amen. Amen to His Word. Amen. I feel pressing in my heart, Tom. When you're under that anointing, you just say, stand back. It's going to come. Hallelujah. Amen. Just trust we'll all be ready. Amen. Let us all stand. Oh, many times I just love to sing a little chorus. What chorus can we sing? Amen. It comes to my mind. I love Him. That sweet relationship between you and God. I love Him. Amen. Let's sing it together. I love Him. I love Him. Brother Settles, come dismiss us. I love Him.
I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Amen. Let's bow our heads if you would. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to the close of another service, Lord, truly in my heart I can say that it's been good to be here. Father, any opportunity that we have that we can, under your Holy Spirit, gather around your word, Lord, and measure ourselves by that. Lord, it makes a good day. Father, and whether we judge ourselves to be right up to the par, Father, right where we need to be, or if we may judge ourselves to be slack and have a place to climb, Lord, it does not matter. As long as we know that we're growing closer and closer to you, Father, give us grace, Lord, to take the rung that you have laid out for us today, Lord, and draw closer to you. For Lord, your coming is so close and so nigh. Lord, you would not bring forth a word that is not important. Father, Lord, every word that comes forth is a place and a time.
Yes.
Lord, may our hearts receive it. And Lord, may the desperation come with it. And Lord, may we check our lives, Lord, and run like we've never run before. We thank you, Lord, and just pray that you would bless each and every one that's gathered. And as we leave the building, Lord, bring us back at your next appointed time you have for each and every one of us. And may your will be done. We ask in your precious name, the Lord Jesus.